Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to African Conversations today with your host, Charles Williams. We are joined by Pastor Ken Blanchard. He's the author of the book, Black Man with a Gun, a responsible gun ownership manual for African Americans. Pastor Ken has served as a U.S. Marine and a federal police officer where he obtained the rank of lieutenant. He is currently a security specialist with the federal government, active in the advocacy for the right to keep and bear arms across the country. He has testified before the legislative bodies of Texas, Maryland, Virginia, Michigan, and South Carolina. He is the executive director of the 10th Cavalry Gun Club, dedicated to promoting the safe advocacy of firearm ownership in untraditional America. He is a board member of the Law Enforcement Alliance of America. Mr. Blanchard provides training in personal safety strategies and advanced concealed carry techniques. He speaks to organizations on how to re-energize their teams and motivate their leadership. Mr. Blanchard's no-nonsense guide to the emotional issues and practical concerns regarding responsible gun ownership belongs on the bookshelf of every African-American male and female, no matter what present positions they may take on the gun question. Thank you for joining us in African Conversations, Pastor Blanchard.
Oh, man, thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. I read your book a number of years ago, and I was blown away by the detail and the breadth and scope of your mission to raise the consciousness on not only Second Amendment issues, but it's really a right to have lethal force, the right to have power in your society. And I felt that the black community was not providing a discourse on that, you know, and had taken the position on disempowerment by, you know, with the gun buyback programs and the, all the anti-gun legislation that was being promoted by the NAACP. And I saw your work as a totally avant-garde perspective on the issue that was, I would say, understated or ineffectively articulated. I mean, you did an awesome job in doing so.
Man, thank you for that. And believe it or not, I had to keep it kind of light because folks weren't ready for it as it was. I couldn't get as heavy as I wanted to. Just to want to scare people away. I wanted to just make it palatable so people just understand it and have some questions and contact me and talk, make it the discussion.
Right. Right, because it's just like they weren't used to hearing a black man say, hey, you know, I have a gun. You know, and like under the cover of this of the book, and it just shows you with the automatic rifle, and the audience is, you know, the mind is not of most Americans finds that inappropriate to see a black man have personal power and displaying it proudly.
I actually went too hard. The cover was so scary. A lot of black bookstores at the time, man, wouldn't even put another book in the store, which hurt me more than they know.
Right, right, and we're supposed to be, you know, people are always talking about black empowerment, but yet this is the epitome of that.
Right.
You know, when the actual self defense, the protection of your personal rights, in action. The preparation, the training, you know, and people think that their lives are going to be, I don't know what they think in terms of protection. How are you going to protect your lives and your community and your family if you're not prepared to do so, if you're not empowering yourself with the right kind of thinking to have the reflexes, you understand? You don't have to, you know, you have to have training in order to rely upon when you're in a crisis situation.
Well, see, what happened with us is that we allow other images that people give us to be accepted as the truth. And their images are that we are violent people, that we are irresponsible people, that we are unable to be trained, unable to be trusted with knowledge like this, that we need to be taken care of by somebody else. And it's done real subtly that only a few people can see through it.
And that is sad that most of our own community can't accept or have difficulty accepting any way that, you know, we should be in control of protecting ourselves. And you know, I'd like to, you know, just start off, you know, just have you just share some of your narrative. Can you tell us how you became the gunman that is, you know, an advocate for responsible firearms ownership?
I was training some police officers one day, and it was a really weird day in that I was not real happy with my job as law enforcement officer. I thought I could do something else. I thought I'm a pretty good instructor. I would love to own my own business, to be my own boss. Federal government is nice, but it's not me. And I was looking around the range, and it just happened to be that day, three or four of us, people of color that had managed to make it to firearms instructors, and we were really doing a fantastic job. That each one of us had a different style for teaching. One guy was really good with former military people. He could get them barking and screaming, jumping and running, and they were all happy. Another person was really patient with new shooters and had a talent for people who were terrified with firearms to get them from 1 to 100. And I was watching the dynamic of how we teach people versus traditional method. I thought, yeah, if I could get these brothers together, we could form our own business and save our community. The bad part was that dream was not shared. It was a little bit too tough, a little too far-reaching, and I went off anyway and started something I called African American Arms and Instruction. And in the beginning, all I wanted to do was be the guy in the community that would prepare families to be safer, to be responsible. So there wouldn't be any accidents in the homes, but there'd be no children shot accidentally by the firearms that nobody knew that was there. I wanted to make it clear that this knowledge was open and everybody could be a part of it. And you could even get some kids that were probably like me. They weren't the most super athletic kids growing up, but had a talent for marksmanship that's not fostered. There's kids that can go to the Olympics if they get the right training. And there's money in the whole firearms thing that we're not a part of. And it was my hope that at least I could help a couple of people. And I had no idea the backlash that I was going to get hit with from my own people.
I mean, yeah, because like even, you know, just I've had run into this numerous times in discussing these kinds of issues, and they always parrot the same propaganda that is, you know, promoted heavily in the media that, oh, you know, too many people getting killed in the streets. And I'm sorry, I just mentioned responsible gun ownership, training, positive self attitudes and that sort of thing, so that there won't be, people won't have the urge to murder themselves, you know, and they just dismiss that. Go ahead.
It's all self-hate.
That's self-hate, right. And so they, it's like, well, nobody else thought of that, and they're smarter than me, you know, so, you know, there's no need. We'll wait for the opinion makers to tell us what you just said. Until then, we'll continue this course of action. And so that's it seems that's where most people, you know, want to follow the Pied Pipers.
Also, what was scary and eye-opening for me was when I was a child, I remember listening to the story of Harriet Tubman, and I thought this was a brave sister, man. She was going behind enemy lines. She was going back on plantations, and she was freeing slaves. But, you know, after she got out there, quite a few people wanted to go back, and she had to pull her gun on them and say, before I let you go, I'll kill you. I'm taking you to freedom. I mean, and we're there again mentally. We haven't changed much. Everybody don't want to be free.
That's right. Freedom is scary for a lot of people. You know, it's frightening because you have to make decisions. You have to learn how to govern yourself. You have to protect yourself. You know, you don't have the opportunity to be lazy and lay back and let someone else do all the thinking and solving all the big problems.
And see, the other part of it is we don't come from that. We just forgot where we come from. Our ancestors.
Right.
They all had arms. These guns weren't just invented today. Anybody who complains about AR-15s and assault weapons, let me tell you something. Every gun is from some war. Every gun is a model off of a military arms. They're all military-style arms. It's just not this century. They were always, when the bolt action came out, it was the fastest shooting gun of the time. There's always been the same issue since the Chinese invented gunpowder. It's not about the gun. It's about power. It's about responsibility.
Right. I mean, power and responsibility go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And the appropriate use of power, responsibility, and a third vector that is organization. And now you have a formula for success. And in your book, you talk about some of the anti-gun lobbies that focus on irresponsible gun ownership as the sole form of gun ownership of African-Americans, which is an insult, in my opinion, to our community. Could you just speak to that insulting of us that goes practically unnoticed? And what's your take on that?
The biggest one that happens almost every month somewhere is a gun buyback. It sounds good, but you know you can't buy guns. The government cannot buy guns from anybody, and anybody who will give a $500 to $700 gun away for a gift card of $25 is an insult economically, financially on your brain. A lot of people get duped out of collectible arms that their grandfathers and grandmothers had in the homes, and they're giving them away to be destroyed, quote, with the air quotes, they disappear. You know they're not going nowhere. But we fall for that. We fall for that in the, just like a plantation mentality. And it's sad.
Yes, it is, you know, it's pathetic that, you know, we just say, oh, you know, and say, here, come give us some gift cards. And you're taking collectible weapons and just handing them over.
Heirloom.
And they can feel
heirloom
about it. Heirloom firearms, and they're giving them over for, you know, for pennies. Tennis shoes. And, I mean, with that kind of literal stupidity going on, how are we going to expect to be respected as a community, as a people, as a nation, within a nation, making dumb decisions like that?
Oh, yeah. People always want to fight the gun lobby, the NRA, some groups as being the anti-black group, that they're corrupt, they're racist. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that will give you a gun is your friend. Anybody who will take one away from you is not. That's plain war sense.
Right. That's how Robert F. Williams, South Carolina, It was Monroe, South Carolina, Monroe, North Carolina. I forgot what it was. He started North Carolina. Yeah, he started with the NRA. There was nothing else. And he was able to protect the community from rapists that were coming to the black community and assaulting the women. It wasn't the NAACP. The NAACP tried to get Robert F. Williams to write an apology, you know, to the people who will predate on our community. So that lets you know who's your friend and who's your enemy in that scenario.
Yeah. It's like that. It's been played out so many times that we allow ourselves to be used. That's the insult. The insult is not standing up as a man, because a man wouldn't take the crap we put up with. We allow other people to direct us. And then what's even worse is we allow the mothers of our children, our grandmothers, to be used. I've been in courtrooms where they've paraded in the mothers who have lost their sons in violence and drug violence and drive-by shootings and gang violence. And politicians will use all of that for the gun thing. It has nothing to do with the gun issue. Nothing. A gun was used. So was a machete and a hatchet. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just twisted. And the mothers are crying. They want to be mad at somebody. We know who it is. It's the same kids that's outside at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not your kids.
That's right. And we got to really get serious about promoting promoting the issues and speaking clearly on the issues so that they will no longer have a sole voice, you know, and go unchallenged.
Yeah. But it's not about violence. People love to say, I don't see how that minister can talk about that stuff when people are dying. Let me tell you one of the biggest lies that's told every day: gun violence. There is no gun violence. It's just violence.
It's just violence.
It can be rock violence or stick violence. It's just violence. They're using the English language, throwing a word behind it, in front of it, so that you get twisted. It's just violence. And violence stops when people start caring for each other.
Right.
We have a problem in our society. We don't love our family. We don't love each other anymore. That's what the issue is. That's how come a preacher can talk about it. Because it's still about love, about what's right. It has nothing to do with the mechanics. Folks get twisted on a mechanical device. It's still the human heart that's deceitfully wicked.
That's right. That's where the wickedness is. Because people kill people out of the desires of their heart. I remember in Houston over 10 years ago, there was this, you know, they had this law or whatever going around as people, anybody who did a convenience store, you know, did some kind of armed robbery with a gun, they had some extra hard time. And so then they noticed this string of robbers with bricks. You know, people were just going to convenience store hitting folks with bricks and bats, you know. And, you know, they kind of made light of it that, oh, well, they're trying to outsmart the gun law. Well, see, the guns weren't the problem. It was, there were other issues, social and economic factors driving people to commit street this kind of crime. However, no one's looking at. Go ahead.
No, you're totally on. I mean, it doesn't sell. We love to be scared. We go to horror movies to be scared. We want to be scared by a boogeyman, and the gun is the boogeyman. The boogeyman is our power. He hasn't changed.
Exactly. And, you know, the guns has, like you said, it's just a mechanical device. And we have other forms of violence, like you talked about the violence of not caring for each other. We have loans, high interest or predatory loans that are really killing our communities. That's murder.
Yeah. Can't even get shelter, basic human needs.
You can't. Exactly. When you can't feed your family and you can't provide shelter, you are killing people. That's murder. But people have been so miseducated that they don't realize violence in all of its forms. And they only see it in the form that someone has defined for them as the sole form of injustice and whatever. But I know
they wanted to stop.
Right.
They're right in that. They're right to want their violence to stop. They're right to want a change. The bad part is they're picking on the wrong demon.
That's right. Picking the wrong one. And in the preface of your book, you state that whoever controls the guns controls the power. And if citizens, especially African-American citizens, have limited access to guns, they understand the reason that African-American power is limited by the restricted access and training in the use of lethal force. Can you speak to that, expound upon that for us today?
It's economic. It's economical. It's political. And it hasn't changed much since this country began. We have accepted it as being the white man's burden, the white man's thing. As long as you get the gun out of our community, we'll be all right. I'm just trying to make the claim that we're all in it. We're involved as black people in the very laws of this country when it has to do with guns. We're in it more than anybody because the very first laws that even were created about gun control has us in it.
Right. Exactly. Now, he also, in the book, you were dealing with identifying some of the forces that keep the gun control issue alive. Could you, identify some of those?
Politically, there's people that if you want to win an election to keep somebody in power, you got to pick an issue that's evergreen. Gun control is one of them. You can create a ban on a certain type of gun, a magazine, a clip, whatever you want to call it, some item, and ban its use and vote for it and make a big stink about it. The fact that it doesn't stop crime, stop the murder, stop or save a child's life is irrelevant. But your political piece, you'll win. And that's used every decade, every year that there's somebody in office. Nothing changes. Only the people change. We've been the same forever. And being in this thing for the last 20 years, I've got a chance to see it. I've seen people who don't even believe what they say out loud, but they know it'll get them votes. They'll be able to move people, manipulate people emotionally, and that's what they're doing. There's groups like the Brady campaign. They were almost gone before Newtown. Bankrupt. Just totally nobody cares. Newtown gave them a blood infusion. Unfortunately, it was the blood of children. That's the crime. I talked about Columbine. When I wrote the book, Columbine was hot. Now I'm working right now on a revision of the book. And it's the same thing 20 years later, but now it's Newtown.
Yeah. Now,
and what people fail to realize is when Columbine came out, there was an assault weapons ban in play. So none of that stuff none of them weapons should have even been used if criminals paid any attention to the law, which by
That's
law
right.
they don't.
They never do. And that was a lot really designed to bind the hands of law abiding citizens, not criminals.
Yes.
Now, can you give us a brief analysis or whatever of the latest anti-gun legislation that's been buzzing around in the past few months? What's popping?
Right now, it's a rehash of everything that's in my book. Because nothing's new under the sun, Solomon was totally right on that one. Everything's back up on the board. They're pushing for assault weapons ban. It failed in California, so it's going to take a back seat for a couple minutes. They're now working in New Jersey or in Maryland to copy off of New Jersey with a fingerprint ID system that Illinois also has. That's not new. They were still talking about ballistic fingerprinting like it was a brand new concept where they can micro-image bullet casings, but nobody has the money to do that. I've even heard that they're going to try to bring back or create special electronic firearms that you have to have a special ring to be able to use it so that only one person can operate it. But anybody who's watched any science fiction movies know with an electronic magnetic pulse, or EMP, you can disable that. And the only people who will have that will be the government. So that would be kind of useless if you wanted to actually protect yourself
right.
from tyrants. It's like nothing new. Just warmed over, new faces preaching the same stuff. And if you're new to the fight and you get all up in it, you'll find out that your argument is old. It's like coming to a battle with the Hatfields and the McCoys, and you didn't know which side you was on.
Right.
And you late to the fight, trying to figure out which side gonna win, and they both wrong.
Oh man, that is, you know, it's just ridiculous that that people today, you know, don't understand what people 2,000 years ago understood very clearly. The ancient Romans wanted to disarm all the Judeans, you know, so they took out the swords because they knew Judeans were great revolutionary fighters, guerrilla war tacticians. And they fought, and they, you know, and previously they had fought off the Seleucid Empire, Antiochus Epiphany, and so they came in with sword control.
It's always been about control.
Yes.
Yeah. Always,
and that's
always.
What, right? Free people in a free society are armed publicly, not even concealed. I mean, they may have concealed, but the thing with the Vogue. Fashion was to demonstrate the with your arms, you know, as apparel, you know, and you use it when necessary, and that's what's expected to take place. But in a society where everyone is a prisoner, well, you're expected to be disarmed.
Well, see, we live in a time also where everybody thinks that we have evolved as these great people of love and diversity, but again, we haven't changed. We got electronic stuff that can do some fabulous stuff, but people are still greedy, still evil, still would do stuff. And this country was formed on the basis that it would not be beholden to any one person, that it would be a republic, not a democracy. It would be of the people, and if everybody was on equal basis, nobody would mess with anybody. And folks keep trying to put it back in the hands of one person. They want a king. They keep wanting to find a Saul somewhere when the ultimate is the creator.
That's right. This is not some kind of like the highest point of a highest point of evolution of human development.
Yeah.
And that's the false notion that must be dispelled. People are the same as they've always been throughout time.
Yep.
The only thing that changes is the methods or the means that are used to accomplish the objectives.
That's it.
Methods
we do it now with popularity and TMZ and People Magazine and who's popular. We kind of do it as like the prom queen kind of thing now. We believe the prom queen for our rules, not our own common sense.
Right. People can't think in terms of interest. You know, what interest do I have in giving up my personal power and allowing my family to be vulnerable to home invasion, robbery, whatever, by lack of training in self-defense?
Yeah.
At one time,
our slogan was, "Don't fail me." Basically, do whatever you want, just leave me be.
Right.
People can't handle that.
Right. But we have a way to go. We're gonna keep transforming the consciousness on the issue of not only gun rights, but it's just the human right to survival, the human right to have the power to preserve life.
That's what it is.
Because if you don't have the power,
they want to make it an argument. They want to make it a hate thing. But if you look at the basic human needs, security is on that list.
Right. Because like you said in your book, all the talk show hosts, government officials, you know, high ranking government officials anyway, they have armed security.
Sure do. I've been it for some of them.
Right. Corporate executives, some celebrities, they have armed.
Yeah.
They're not walking around with brass knuckles.
No. They got the best their money can buy.
That's right.
That's not equal.
That's not equality. That's right. And those are the same people telling you that you don't need to have your weapons, that you don't need to appear in public armed, like the old slave codes, which later became the black codes.
Right.
Appearing in public armed, and that being a crime. You couldn't even have it. We couldn't even have dogs that would protect us.
A pit bull or a muskrat could get you arrested, pulled out of your house, and lynched.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy?
People were literally lynched. That's right. So it goes beyond guns. Guns are just the first frontier. Once they eradicate guns and make them like totally, then next is going to be anything else, and then it's going to be knives.
And they're working on that one already.
Right.
They're doing quiet, under the radar.
Nah.
Because times,
right.
Times have changed, but people have not.
That's right.
It's
like
to protect us from ourselves.
Now, I'd heard some years ago that over in the UK they had some legislation working, or they already had it, about knives becoming illegal.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I believe just last week.
Yeah, dude, that's some stuff there, man.
Right. And that's exactly what they want. I mean, that's the exact kind of media fear that people that would tap into the racist super consciousness seeing a black man with a knife, you know, carrying out self-offense, or, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
They, you know.
Black coat.
And, right, black coat. See, here's go, black man in public arm. That's why we had that law right there. You see what I'm talking about?
There you go. And they're going to convince all the black people, all the black leaders, say, see, we need to protect your people from our cops. So we need y'all to disarm y'all so there won't be no problem. And folks are going to fall for that.
Right. I've noticed that people talk about, you know, gun. Well, how come the police don't give up their guns?
Yeah. They don't understand that the whole reason for a cop to have a gun is for their protection, not for ours.
That's right. And that was one of the big themes of it on the Andy Griffin Show, where Andy Griffin never carried a gun. But Barney Fife carried one.
Right, with one bullet.
With one bullet.
Yeah.
Barney was fearful. He was coward.
Yeah, he was.
And so his character had the gun to assert his political dominance that he didn't have or assert himself that he didn't really have developed in his own character. And people watch that show week in, week out, even in reruns, and they were basically just explaining how they use guns in political power and power. You know,
reason that Andy didn't need one was Andy was also the justice of the peace.
Right.
Andy had more than one hat.
He sure did. He had that courtroom right there in the station, right?
Yeah. He could get you locked up. He could call down the state police folks and take you away.
Right.
He had the whole government. He didn't need a gun.
He need one. Right. He had the pen and the gavel.
Yes.
He had a rack of guns.
He had the judicial system. Yeah, he did.
he had a rack of guns that he only used when he had to go out on a manhunt. That's it. And so, you know, we have to become more analytical, more critical, and more self-serving of a community.
And that's all I was trying to do. Now, when I wrote that book, I was just trying to get us to realize that we have been here before, that nobody can save us but us. It's not about violence. It's about stopping violence. It's about educating our people, because education got us off the plantation, and education will get us to the next place where we're supposed to be as a people.
Right. And until we realize that, we're not going to move forward. We're going to move backwards.
Right.
And that's the order of the day. You know, you got to have progressive thought, and without progressive, good, sound reasoning, flawed doctrine and flawed reason will keep you incarcerated and disempowered, powerless, weak, and vulnerable.
Yeah, even the incarceration piece is a part of that. Because, see, once you get caught up in the system, then you no longer can be a citizen. You no longer can carry a gun. It's still connected to that. It's all about disarming a group of people. As long as they can get you, they'll arrest you. And if you plead out that you're not guilty, and let me go home and without fighting the court so that I get this little bit on my record, then you can't own a firearm. They've done their job.
Right. Right. They've basically held you hostage for your right to have lethal force.
Yeah. You're no longer a citizen. No longer able to be defended by the Constitution.
Right. Which is a violation of your human right to self-preservation.
Yeah.
Why must my citizenship, you know, have direct relation to my human right?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's even bigger than the Second Amendment there.
Bigger than the Second Amendment, right, man. Telling people you can't have a right to protect your family and your own life because you're not a citizen. Basically saying your life is worthless to us.
Right.
If you're not an endorsed member of this culture.
Right. To
not
life,
to
liberty,
us, but even to yourself. And we should say, what kind of society is this that we living in,
right,
that tells people passing through, sojourning, living in it, multiple generations, your right to exist, your right to self-preservation has been revoked? We can murder
you. I can
wear
those signs again. Am I a man?
Right. And
go right back to
the
same thing again.
Exactly. Back to the same thing.
Person with the power. Because we don't have none.
Right. Because power, like Dr. Anderson would say, power is created amongst people in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You and I, we can agree that I'm going to acknowledge, endorse what you say, and you acknowledge, endorse what I say. Anybody outside our group that says something contradictory to what we're talking about is illegitimate, and then we will take action to remove them.
Yep.
And that's power created. Nobody had to give it to us. We just consented amongst ourselves to become powerful.
Malcolm said power respects is power.
That's right.
That scared a whole bunch of people. Folks went crazy on that one.
it did run crazy. But, you know, we definitely have to do this again. We had some technical difficulties on the audio.
I'm sorry about that, man.
We'd definitely like to have you back, and tell everyone where they can find you on the internet and on Facebook and about your Urban Shooter podcast.
All right. You can find me at blackmanwithagun.com. You can also go to Ken Blanchard. That's Ken with two N's. If you just do a Google search for Black Man with a Gun, you'll find me. I'm on Facebook, several different pages, but Black Man with a Gun 1 is the most popular. And I'm on Twitter at Ken Blanchard. Again, that's Ken with two N's. And thank you guys for having me on the show.
Appreciate you for showing up. And dropping some serious knowledge on us, so that we can, keep the message going forward about your ministry, and educating our communities and our families about the value in our own lives, protecting our lives by all means necessary and available. And we thank you, Pastor Blanche, for joining us. And we thank you too, listeners, for tuning in to African Conversations. And have a good week.
They asked me, where was I going? I said, well,